Hi, punks. Going to school, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you play fish hooking and come fishing with us?
Yeah, boy. They're sure biting.
Just be behind me, Satan, and don't push.
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Now Jesus went to the desert 40 nights and 40 days. When he got tired and hungry, to his father he would pray. But the devil came to Jesus, said, if you want to be fed, why don't you turn these big old worthless stones to bread?
And he said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Then the devil, he took Jesus to the temple up on top. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off of this moving rock. For the scripture says that angels will slow your falling down. And they'll gently put your feet back on the ground.
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Ooh. Then the devil he took Jesus to a mountaintop to show all the cities and the nations and the kingdoms here below. And the devil he told Jesus, you can have all that you see if you will just bow down and worship me.
Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, you don't tempt the Lord thy God. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. Jesus said,
he said, don't tempt the Lord thy God.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is an Official Godcast. Thank God it's Friday. The weekend is finally here. It's officially here. My name is Ron Johnston, and I'm here with DJ and the Kilted One, Duncan McGregor. And tonight, giving his testimony, our special guest, Kevin Tallickson. All right, let's start out ladies first. DJ, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you guys.
It's good to be seen. Good to see you.
Yeah. Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God. It's been a long week, hasn't it?
Yeah. And I don't have to work tomorrow. So that's a great thing.
You don't. Isn't that nice?
No. I know. Unusual.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
The Kilted One. Duncan McGregor.
Oh, good You've to see you, brother. Week. Yeah, man, it's been a busy week so far this week, but here we are, made it to another Friday, our first official live official Godcast. I'm excited about that. Yeah. We got all the buzzing noises gone, and I've got control of everything here at the director's board. This is how I like it right here.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, man, that's it's great to be live again.
Oh yeah, 100%. It is
a little 100%. Weird last week watching myself on TV. Yeah,
man, I can't tell you how few episodes I've gone back and listened to or watched, because I don't like listening or watching myself either. But sometimes I'll go back and I'll listen to the prayer because I'm like, I know I prayed, but I just need to make sure that I did. You get lost into the God zone sometimes when you're praying, and you get done with it and you're just kind of like out of body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You had a busy week. You've had a show every night this week.
Yeah, every night this week. And, you know, keeping Jeff in the prayers. We'll be back on Brothers in the Bible here on Sundays once he's getting feeling up to it. And I'm excited about that. But it was a blessing to have him on the show last night.
It really was. It was great to hear him. And I heard that shout out to me about Brothers in the Bible. I cannot wait for Brothers in the Bible. You know, it's my favorite show. That's really what got me hooked on Kilted Christian, was Brothers in the Bible. Your other news shows are absolutely fantastic. And this year they're even better because they're more God-based than they ever were before.
Yeah. But I'm switching I think people, we get the news, but like I said, I have to end on a positive note. And there's no better positive note than when you're talking about Jesus and God. So
yeah, there's not much good news when you're going over the news. My dad always used to say when he used to read the newspaper, he said, the good news is the funnies. Yeah, that was the only good news on the whole thing, was the funnies.
It's about right.
Bad news.
There's no fine line any longer. It's what we would call reality and satire.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, do you remember them old rags? What was it Star Magazine and the Inquirer?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the news is. Every single mainstream media news is the Star Magazine and the Inquirer.
I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I think that there's probably more truth in those magazines than there is in mainstream media right now.
And DJ, I actually saw you were Monday. You were on Monday at Book of Heaven, weren't you?
Yeah.
Book of Heaven on Monday? Yeah.
Yep, I was on there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And if I could go over just a couple things. If you guys have Podbean, of course, Duncan's got a show at 9 p.m. Eastern time every single night. Monday is Book of Heaven with Jay Woo and Jim Warren. And then Tuesday through Thursday, Kilted Christian's got his show, and it's various topics. Every night there's a new topic. And then Friday at 9 p.m., there's a show, isn't there? What's Friday? I can't remember.
Oh, I think it's the official Godcast. We'll just go with that.
Official Godcast, Friday at 9 p.m. And then Saturday, 6 p.m., you switch up Saturday, 6 p.m., Church by the Fire.
Yeah, we try to go a little bit earlier. Just because I know a lot of people have time restraints, especially on the weekend. So we do the earlier show just to give other people an opportunity.
Yes. And Monday and Saturday, Book of Heaven and Church by the Fire, those are Bible study classes. So those are, you don't want to miss those ones. Those are awesome. Yeah. And another great podcast that I got to mention is on Podbean by my good friend, Nellie. Song, Scripture, and My Thoughts. And there was just a new episode yesterday. If you haven't heard it, please listen to it. Song, Scripture, and My Thoughts. She gives a song recommendation right at the beginning, and then she goes over Scripture, and then, of course, her thoughts. And she has just such a beautiful, loving heart for God and Jesus. And they're so heartfelt. They'll really just brighten your day. If you've got a few minutes, and they're not very long, 30 minutes, 45 minutes. So, you know, they don't go 2 hours like us, where you kind of might lose interest after about 10 minutes. but, you know, after they're just great. So Song, Scripture, My Thoughts, those you can find on Podbean. And for those in live chat, they're in live chat and either Rumble or Podbean. If you're in live chat and you have any prayer requests, please tag DJ for your prayer requests, and also for our guest tonight. You may have some questions. If you got questions, tag me or tag DJ in Podbean chat, and we'll interrupt this guy and get a question in.
Awesome. And I've got the chat up, so I can keep an eye on the chat as well.
Okay. So let's welcome in our guest, Kevin Tallickson. Welcome to the Godcast. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. And this is the first day I can actually talk in the last week. I've been struggling with some sickness, so praise God that I'm good for today. So, man, but I may be drinking some tea in and out.
I'm glad you made it, man.
Yeah,
that would have been horrible. So your life is wrapped around a program called Permeate Evangelism, which is what I fell in love with. And I can't remember how or where I found you, but when I found you, I was like, I got to talk to this guy. He's right on point with us. He's wanting to do the same thing we're doing. So tell everybody about what Permeate Evangelism is, please.
Yeah, sure. So it's a new organization. I actually just started a couple months ago, but I've been doing a lot of what the organization does for a while, just more formalized. The mission of the organization is to create a culture of evangelism throughout the church. Because a lot of times we oftentimes go to, oh, that guy's an evangelist, or that woman, like, oh, he shares the gospel, or come hear this preacher. But really, it should be a culture of evangelism for every believer in Christ. And so we really want to be equipping the saints and encouraging them through different means. So we do church trainings, so at local churches, some regional trainings. We have one coming up this weekend with about 10 churches. And then we also do social media content. So some of the videos you saw, we got a lot coming out in the future as well. And then lastly, we want to give opportunities for people to go and practice and do evangelism by going on the streets. And so the goal is not to create street evangelists, but a lot of times doing evangelism on the street, we realize, oh, wait, it's not that hard. I can go have a conversation with my coworker at the lunch table. So we really try to get people going and doing.
It's good practice, and you get a lot of numbers in, and you see a lot of faces doing street evangelism. So the more people you talk to, the easier it comes to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been doing, and I'll share more in my testimony, but I've been doing these type of trainings and street stuff for over 10 years. But I'm excited myself and a few others helping me really getting off the ground running with an organization. I think God's been opening some pretty cool doors. So God's in it, and that's where I want to be.
That's awesome. Yeah, it got me excited when it seemed like your mission statement was like, just equipping the saints and teaching them how to tell people about Jesus. And I saw your clip the other night, and one of them was getting over the fear.
Yeah.
And that's really the biggest thing, because so many of us are just scared. You know, if we haven't done it before, we don't know where to start. We don't know, you know, what door is going to open that's going to lead us into that conversation. And there you are training people. I'm like, man, I love this guy. We got to get him on.
Thanks. I appreciate it, man. I loved listening to some of your podcasts as well. So I'm excited to be on here with you all.
Oh, thank you. My hope is that people listen to this, and then they'll like and follow your ministry. And it's going to help all of us just be able to talk to people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's why we're here. So if you could tell us where we can follow you at on the social media.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the main page would be YouTube at Permeate Evangelism. It's pretty simple, Permeate Evangelism. That's where we'll be posting videos, but we'll also be posting pictures, status updates, different things on X, Facebook, and Instagram for now. I know some of you all are listening on Rumble. We're not there yet, but maybe we'll get there one day onto that as well. So yeah, on X, Facebook, and Instagram, same thing, Permeate Evangelism. No one had the name of the organization, so you'll be able to find it if you type that in. And we post pretty frequently, and I'll share this in my testimony. I'll be going more full-time into ministry soon. Right now I'm working a 9-to-5, but we're excited to get the word out. And like you said, it's not to put anyone's face up there. It's so people can know Jesus and also be trained so that they can make Jesus known as well. So we're excited what God will do.
Yeah, I'm excited what you guys are going to do. I love it, man. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're going to get started unless anybody has anything else. Dab, Duncan?
No, man. I'm excited to hear the testimony.
All right. Duncan's going to lead us off in prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that, DJ?
I just said I'm looking forward to it. I'm all ears. I got to learn a lot from you. So
we're all here to learn.
Amen.
So we'll all right. Thank you, Duncan.
Get into a little bit of opening prayer. So if everyone could please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another beautiful day. Dear Lord, you just show us so many blessings every day, so many miracles, even within the chaos, dear Lord. And one thing that gives us all comfort is knowing that you are in control of everything, dear Lord, and there's nothing to fear and there's nothing to worry about. Father, you blessed us with so many things, including the armor, to keep us safe during these times. And you listen to us every night as we repent, dear Lord, and you are with us through our worst times and our best times, dear Lord, as we work to become better people every day. And I thank you for getting us to the point that we are. And dear Lord, now that we are here, we don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be hot. We want to be on fire for you, dear Lord, and spread that love and your grace and your mercy as far and wide as we possibly can. So dear Lord, thank you for letting us followers of Christ step up during these times and these moments, dear Lord, giving us the courage, the wisdom, discernment, the bravery that we need, dear Lord. It's not about waking up a million people. It's about waking up one soul at a time, dear Lord, leading them to that narrow pass and introducing them to the only person that can give them eternal life and salvation. That is you, Father. So thank you for loving us, even when we don't deserve the love that you give, dear Lord. And I ask, dear Lord, that you bless us with the patience and love that you have with us, dear Lord, so that we can pass that on to other people, not be frustrated as people are still sleeping, but continue to plant those seeds and the seeds of the gospel, dear Lord, which one day they will come to. One day they will wake up and see the truth. Father, thank you for lifting the veil up more and more every day so that we can see the spiritual war going on all around us, and others can as well, dear Lord. We're seeing an awakening happening. I'm seeing more baptisms and more people come to you every single day, dear Lord. More people reaching out to prayer. That used to make me sad because so many people needed prayer, but now I'm just happy because they know where to go when they have a problem. Dear Lord, you take everything, all the burdens off of us, dear Lord, when we ask, and we thank you for that. And we just ask that you continue to bless us with what we need during these times. Allow us to learn how to listen to you a little bit more every day so that we can continue to serve you in the ways that you need us to serve you. And Father, you don't need us to do anything, but you still include us, dear Lord. It's a great honor to be able to serve you and have the greatest Father that we could ever ask for. Father, thank you for all the answered prayers, dear Lord, for Steve. And I just ask that you continue to work with Steve and his life and help him to get functioning again, back on his feet, and bless his beautiful wife, dear Lord, who has been with him every moment and taking care of him. Please continue to bless little Peyton, dear Lord, as she gets over her seizures from an accident she had some while back, dear Lord. But I know she follows you, dear Lord, and she's got great things in her future. So thank you ahead of time just for answering these prayers, dear Lord, and all the other prayers of the many other people that need you during these times. And Father, I'm just going to end asking that you bless our brother Jeff, help him get back on his feet feeling 100% good so he can get back into this war too. And just let him know, dear Lord, that it's all on your time and we are patiently waiting. But dear Lord, thank you for all of the platforms that you blessed us with as we continue to spread your word as far as we possibly can. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to get into this testimony. Just a reminder, everyone in chat, if you got questions, please just tag myself or tag TJ, and we'll interrupt this guy and Kevin's smiling. He don't mind.
He gave us permission.
Yeah. Exactly. I encourage it.
And I got to tell you guys, man, I really love these testimonies. And if I can just, you know, any advice for the listeners, you know, as you're listening, ask the Spirit to reveal what he wants to reveal to you throughout this testimony. And then, you know, best is just to take it right back to God and let him speak to you through his word. That's probably my best advice when you're listening to these testimonies for our new listeners here. I know we got some new listeners in the house tonight. And so please, I hope this testimony blesses you, and I know it will. And Kevin, again, thank you so much for being here. We greatly appreciate you. And I know you're married, you got children, so you're taking time away from your family to do this. And so for that, I just want to thank you, because I know time is precious nowadays. And so please tell us what God's done in your life, and be prepared for questions, because we got some chatty people in the house.
Sounds good. I love it. Testimonies are awesome. Just I'll start out, even when I do church trainings with evangelism, I love to have sections on how to share your testimony. So I think it's really, and I encourage everyone, if you don't know how to share your testimony, whether it's in a 2-minute or 20-minute forum, it's really important and impactful as we share with others about Jesus. So for me, I grew up in North Jersey, and I went to a church, EFCA church. It was awesome, biblical church, some really good stuff. My parents were Christians. Every time the doors were open, VBS was opened, I was there. I was that kind of guy. My dad was an elder. So I grew up in that way. And the best testimony would be, and I followed the Lord the rest of my days, but that did not happen in my life. But for those who have not, I encourage you, it is a beautiful testimony when God keeps you on the narrow path. But for me, I would say it really started the departure from kind of the ways of God in the fourth grade. I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. My dad has it as well. And as a fourth grader, 10 years old, it made me question God, because I told God, like I knew God existed. He created us, created our bodies, everything. Why would God allow this to happen? And I may not have verbalized it then, but I definitely looking back, I was really vengeful against God of why would he let this happen? And that kind of spiraled just even probably less than a year after that. I was exposed to pornography, was really in different levels, but addicted to it really for about 10 years or so. And so that was almost like I knew it was wrong. Like there was something in my conscience, but I'm going to do it to spite God because I was mad at him with diabetes. And again, later on, I realized they were really a lot of times linked together in a way. But I still kept going to church, still did that whole stuff. No one saw anything from the outside of what was going on. And I was big into sports, played basketball, baseball, soccer. Pretty much, I always tell people, I played sports pretty much like 320 days a year. And so that kept me out of external trouble, if you will. So people saw like, oh, this guy, he's just the guy who goes to church, great Christian family and all. But really, I was just angry at God inside. Then in high school, I got injuries, a lot of them. Just I could list about 15, but one of the biggest ones, I was going to be a pitcher. I was planning to go play in college. And I got shoulder surgery that pretty much ended my pitching career. And I fought back with everything because that was really like my only thing that I was clinging on to was sports. But that didn't happen. And so I was still even more angry at God. And I got into drinking, partying, some pain addictions to pain pills. Mixing that with alcohol, which is never good. Girls, a lot of stuff in my last 2 years of high school, all still while going to church, even after getting drunk the night before and all that. So again, they saw I was a good Christian kid in senior year. Little did they know. And so I was pretty much my plan in life was go to college, get drunk, party, and basically just end my life in some ways and wanting to end my life. Even with the pain pills, I remember taking them saying, I hope I don't wake up this time and stuff. A lot of heavy stuff. And my family, the whole time was praying. And I still credit, there is so many grandmas at my church that were prayers. And I really believe that they had a big impact. Because if anyone confronted me, it would backfire in a lot of ways. But I needed a lot of prayer. And so little did I know, God sent someone to our church. He was a youth pastor at the time, and I hated youth group because there was no kids my age, really. But they had a basketball gym at the church, so I would show up to play basketball sometimes. So I befriended a guy who was the youth pastor. His name was Joe. He's the man, and he just loved me. He knew the junk I was in, but he just truly loved me unconditionally. And so I was like, okay, I like this guy. But I also like drinking. So I kept going with that. And then the year before my senior year of high school, he was like talking to me and inviting me to this like mission trip in the summer. And I was like, I hate God. Why would I go on a mission trip? That's ridiculous. But then a lot of things happened. My cousin passed away. She was just a couple years older, same lifestyle. She got ran over by a car actually in a drinking accident or drinking incident. And so a lot of stuff happened making me think of like, okay, I'm trying to kill myself in a lot of ways and I'm on this path, but where is this leading me? But I kind of put it in the back burner. So a lot of things happened that were troubling, but still didn't wake me up. And then I went on this missions trip, which is funny because I hated God at the time. But it was really because I liked this guy, Joe, and my parents were like, you should go here before you go to college. And so I went, and basically to just get my parents off my back, and then I can live my own life. And I was totally ambushed by God, if you will. And God stopped me in the tracks on that trip. And the trip was a missions trip to the northeast of the USA. We would drive to each a different location every night. So we spent hours of time in the car every day doing different service projects, things like that. It was high schoolers. But man, those people, they loved me, and they knew I was a messed up drunk punk. And they loved me so much. And we read the Bible. And for the first time that week, I was like, these people are really nice. Like, what's wrong with them? But they kept saying, like, you need to just read the Bible. And so I started reading that week. But really the first time on my own volition, because I went to private school and stuff. So I've read the Bible and heard it, but it just took off. The letters came right off the page, if you will. And the second to last night, I remember it was a Thursday. It was the weirdest thing. I just told the head pastor, his name's Kevin also. I was like, I think I need to share with the group something. And he's like, okay. And not without like vetting me, because I could have been just like cursing them off knowing me. And I was like, I don't know why he just accepted that. But I then ended up, and this was the Holy Spirit, because I have no idea why I did it. I basically confessed my sins for like 15 minutes in front of 30 people I really did not know before this week. And it was weird because I've never done that. And why would I? Because I'm a pride jock, junk, drunk guy. And so I just shared my sins in front of the whole room. And that's it. I didn't have any other message. I just said, guys, I feel like I need to say this. And that night after, we had some worship after, and I was in the corner crying. And I remember saying, like, God, I give up. Like, I don't want to fight anymore. Just I surrender, like, because I'm a fighter in a lot of ways. And for that night, people say this, but I really believe, like, and I felt like a physical weight come off me that night. And it was beautiful. And it was only God. It was no special prayer. It was just me confessing my sins and say, God, I need you. And so that next morning, which is pretty crazy, I woke up and I felt hungover, and I was like, I went to the pastor. I was like, I promise I didn't sneak any alcohol on this trip. And he didn't like say for certain, but he's like, maybe that's the Lord like releasing you from that addiction. Till this day, I've not drank one drop, and I really had no desire to at all. And so I really believe the Lord, that was his blessing of, look, I'm here with you. I'm for you. I'm going to release you from this addiction. And there was other addictions like pornography and others that I had to work through, that I had to get discipled through, fight through. It's not easy, but that was I believe, the Lord's blessing to provide that. So I got saved that Thursday in July in 2010. That was 14 years ago. And I guess, is there any questions or do I need to stop? I'll keep going a little bit.
No, but that's awesome, because that's part of salvation is repenting and confessing your sins to the Lord. And that's what you did. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's so many times where there's testimonies where there is no repentance, and repentance, as you said, is the gospel. There's no other path through the gospel outside of repentance. So it can look in different forms. You don't have to share it in front of a big group like I did, but, right. But anyway, so I got saved. I went home, and all of my friends were the people that partied. That's all I knew. And so I remember like 2 days after I got back, I told them, I was like, guys, I need to talk to you. So we went out to Applebee's. And I just told him, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing exactly. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say. I just know I met God and I have to follow him. And I can't drink anymore. I can't do any of this stuff anymore. I didn't present the gospel perfectly, because at that point I was like, I just got hit with a wave by God. And I know that it was God. And so they thought I was crazy, and they're like laughing at me, and they're like, you'll be back tomorrow night. Like, no, I really won't. Like, God totally changed me. And so it ended up, I love them to death. But obviously our paths separated in a lot of ways. eventually. But it was really good. I believe that I really almost immediately went and told someone. And I think that is kind of became a part of me, is I just need to go tell people. I just need to go tell people what God did. And so I think from an early stage, God did that in me. And so I went to college, went to Rider University. It's a small private college in Jersey. And I think this is important when sharing testimony too, is, okay, we get saved, but that's not the culmination. The culmination is actually discipleship, is growth in Christ. And so when I was at Rider, literally, I knew, I was like, if I don't get connected with discipleship, I'm going to fall back in my sins in about 2 days, because I was like, I don't trust myself. And so I reached out and found a group on campus, and also a pastor actually found me through a weird, crazy connection I won't go into, but it was cool. But basically, since the day one of college, for the last 14 years, because I'm still in the same area, I've been discipled by two people. Mainly, there's been tons of people speaking into my life, but one guy is a street evangelist who is a street evangelist for 30 years now, and then another guy who's now the senior pastor at my church, Calvary Chapel, Mercer County. And so I really believe those two guys, I wouldn't be where I am today, obviously without the Spirit, but with those two guys really teaching me the love of Scripture with verse by verse teaching, exegeting Scripture. And then also and that's Greg Downs. And then my other mentor, Chuck Harrison. I wouldn't be where I am with evangelism without this guy really kind of dragging me out on the streets the first day, and really setting a tone for my life of the Christian life is sharing the gospel. There's not like a special person for this. And so those two guys have been really instrumental in my life ever since then. And I became like president of InterVarsity at Rider, the Christian group on campus, and God used with a lot of different things.
That's really a great idea. You know, I don't think we've ever really talked about that on the Godcast, is to find an elder and get tucked up under his wing and let him fill your ear. That's a great idea, is to get into a discipleship.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like a formal elder, but someone in the faith who's mature. I've seen a lot of people get saved, but if they don't just get discipled, then it's kind of the parable of the sower in a lot of ways, is the seeds there, but there's no growth. And there's so much more to the gospel than just saying a prayer. It's a changed life. It's a crucified life. So,
yes.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention, because I mentioned the big aspect of diabetes, I still was kind of mad at God even after I got saved. And just to encourage people, once you get saved, things are not all easy and put together and understandable, but it still isn't for me. But one thing was really cool that God did in my life, and hopefully it encourages you, is in college, I did a Bible study with Chinese students. I actually speak a little Mandarin as well. And the Chinese students, they knew nothing about Jesus. I remember my one friend, John, I asked him while we were playing ping pong, because I started a club there at college. And I was like, do you know who Jesus is? And he's like, who's that? I was like, oh, we need to talk. So we did. He came to my Bible studies for a year and a half. Really quiet kid, but he listened. One weekend, he came to a retreat with us, heard the gospel again and again. And then afterwards, he's like, I need to talk to you, Kevin. And I said, okay, great. We talked, and he said, Kevin, I know you have diabetes and you share about it and about how you get sick sometimes and all that. He's like, I have to tell something I've never told before, anyone before, except his mom. Like, no one knows. And so he shared that he has had a black, or he had a one, only one lung, and he had cancer in that one lung left. And he's like, I'm just so angry at God. Why would he let this happen? And he's like, I feel like I can talk to you because you've shared that same frustration sometimes, that you've struggled with that. And so we prayed, we talked, I counseled him. He prayed, and it was not just a normal prayer of God help me, but truly surrender. And after the prayer, and he did it in Chinese, so it was beautiful. He's like, a black spot in my heart has come out. And he's like, I feel free for the first time. And it's just so beautiful. I'm sorry, I'm crying, but without my diabetes, I wouldn't have been able to minister to him. And so I was just that after that, I was like, God, thank you for giving me diabetes. And there's other benefits of that. But it's like, man, like that guy entered the kingdom of God through the vessel of suffering, and praise the Lord. And so he ended up passing away 6 months later. But I know with the utmost certainty that he's with Jesus. Yeah. And just such a blessing that God didn't have to show me, because he gives suffering and sometimes he doesn't give a reason. But we should also take advantage of our suffering to be a testimony of Jesus. Man, well, and so I just wanted to share that because I think it kind of connects before Christ and after Christ with that. And then real quick, maybe just to connect the rest to. So I've been working for a company for 10 years, SKF. God used it to pay off some loans, which were, I had a lot after college, but a lot of opportunities for witnessing there that I won't go into. And I actually met my wife about 6 years ago now, I guess. She was a missionary in North Africa. We met through, I got on her email list, lo and behold, and long story short, we got married. And so I'm really blessed to have a wife who loves missions, who loves intentional evangelism, and two kids at 3 and 1, and really a church that's been a blessing. But now, with Permeate and a couple other things that have happened in life, I'm actually going to be moving to a new church, new region, by Penn State, to join a group called, an organization called Narrow Roads Ministries. That will actually be the ministry that Permeate is underneath, because right now we're not 501c3, but we'll be underneath the council and obviously financials of Narrow Roads. And we'll be doing some local evangelism, preaching, discipleship of youth. And then we'll actually be going overseas quite a bit to do things in India, Israel, Belize, a few other countries, working with the persecuted church in often places. So I'm excited for a little new adventure, but so thankful for the roots that God has brought me through discipleship here. And now I'm kind of being sent out. And so it's always an adventure following Jesus. And I want to encourage everyone. It's not boring if you surrender to Jesus, man. There's so much good stuff that God can do in and through us. So that's what I got for a testimony. Hopefully there's some questions, but or if you want more details on anything.
I just want to first off and foremost comment on your true love and your enthusiasm, man. It is very contagious. A lot of people in here commenting on that. You're young, but you're very sincere and mature. And the story that you told, your testimony of where, you know, the struggles that you had, many people go through such similar struggles, and it becomes easier for you to get over them. Cause you mentioned something about a youth pastor that kind of came in. Look, when I was younger, I had a similar situation where I knew God. I would go to church just to spend time with my mother during the youth, and I'd go to the youth section. But the guy that came in during like this 2 month period was an old surfer. He used to do drugs. Like literally it was like me, but a version that had found Christ. And so I needed that. And it was, I wonder sometimes, was he there for the church or was he there for me? You know what I'm saying? Because God was a miracle worker like that.
Yeah. And it was crazy. The youth pastor there, he actually didn't stay too long at the church. He basically came for like 2 years or three, whatever. It was pretty short. But me and a few other got saved, and then God called him elsewhere. And yeah, God's moving it like a chessboard in a sense. He knows what he's doing. And it's cool because like my youth pastor had such an impact in my life. And I was actually a youth pastor at my church for 8 years. And so it was so cool to be able to pour into kids like I was poured into. And I had someone so great go before me and Joe, and kind of exemplifying what that looks like. And so it's really cool how God orchestrates things.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
A couple of the big points I took out of it is discipleship is a really good idea. If you're a young Christian, if you're a new Christian, if you're a baby Christian, and also Bible study, get yourself into a Bible study. And we've got a couple here. If you're not involved in them, like we had talked about in the beginning of the show, Book of Heaven and Campfire, you know, on Saturday, get yourself into a Bible study, and also just sharing your testimony. And we talk about that every Friday. You know, there's there's always somebody who's going through what you've gone through, mm-hmm. what God has pulled you through. And sometimes somebody just needs to hear that. Someone just needs that encouragement yeah. to take that next step in their relationship with Christ. And, you know, be that blessing for someone. Tell your story.
You know, amen. And, you know, I'd imagine, you know, on your journey, you know, God, not only does he show you these miracles, which gets you just so more excited about, you know, where you're mm-hmm. heading. Like you said, once you get Jesus in your life, it's not boring. Sometimes it may get really chaotic because yeah. you get closer to devil or to closer to God, the devil tries to get closer to you. And I think we all have seen experience about this recently. But one thing, too, that's just so profound is that God even knows when we're having those down days. Not that we lack of faith, but we, you know, we start looking for that something. As if God doesn't show us enough miracles, we're always looking for the new miracle.
Yeah.
But, you know, today, a great example is like, it's when people try to separate the Old Testament and the New Testament, saying they're two completely different books. And, you know, and I love the little things that I come across personally in the Old Testament that literally talks about, you know, what things were to come. And I came across one today that was a mind blower. Do you mind if I share this with you real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Joseph was in the Old Testament and Joseph was imprisoned. And there were two people there with them. One of them was a baker and the other one was a cupbearer. And I didn't see the significance, you know, as I do now, but when Jesus had his Last Supper, he shared the cup with the wine in it, you know, being his blood, and then the bread, which is his flesh. So as the two men were being taken away, Joseph said to the cupbearer, "Remember me," which is literally what Jesus said in the New Testament at the Last Supper. And then to go even further, it's not the bread that saves your life. The bread, the flesh died when Christ died on the cross. It's the blood that's eternal. You know, so in the story, the baker was the one who was killed and the cupbearer was the one who was set free. So you've got like Old Testament literally, you know, just foreshadowing what was to come, you know, all these years later. The Bible just gets more brilliant to me every single day.
Oh, it's incredible. And when I first read the Bible for myself, and again, I went to a Bible teaching church for 18 years. Like I heard the word, but there's nothing like when you have an open heart to read it. There's a big difference. And when I first read, I read the New Testament in probably like a couple months. I was like going like crazy over it. And I was like, I don't want to read the Old Testament. The New Testament's so good. But when I read the Old Testament over the next couple months after that, because I was just reading the Bible ad nauseum the first year, especially, I was like, this makes the New Testament make so much more mm-hmm. sense and more powerful. And so people yeah. can't throw out the Old Testament. And there's churches out there that's like, let's focus on the New Testament. Like, no, the whole Word of God is living. And so, yeah, I love it.
It's all intertwined. Yeah, I love your joy. I can feel the joy right here. It's contagious. I can just only imagine like evangelizing with you, walking down the street or just sitting in the same room and just binging off each other. You know, your energy is awesome.
Oh, it is.
Definitely of the Lord, because I haven't gotten yeah. much sleep this week.
So. You're running on Jesus and coffee.
Exactly. Oh, every day. I love it. That simple prayer. But yeah, and I really like believe it. Yeah, there's going to be times we're mourning. There's going to be times we're sad and hard days. But the scripture even talks about, I think in Nehemiah talks about like the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so
yes.
When we put things in perspective, how can we not have joy?
Yeah.
And I think too, like even in evangelism, like there's been people who come out with me like, how do you do this? Cause it's depressing sometimes when you do street evangelism, cause it's like so many people reject, and especially up here in the Northeast, a lot of people mock, but it's like, man, like, the Lord calls us blessed because we're persecuted. Like the Lord, I could be going to hell and the Lord has saved me. And so I think we put things in perspective. God is so good and gracious.
It is, you know, there's a billion examples of this every day of just how amazing God is and him working in your lives every single day. And I always say one thing is that God has this amazing ability to put his aces in their places, to what I call it. Like he sends people out, not just on a mission, but the right mission that he's prepared you for your whole life. And one thing that I have to say about you without a doubt is that you're non-threatening. You know what I'm saying? So if I was as a if I was to be a non-Christian, a non-believer, and I was to have you approach me and talk, I'd probably, you know, listen for the first time, because you're not pushy. You're kind about it. You come at it with absolute complete love. And I think that, you know, you going on your ministry, you know, going out and talking to people is right up your alley, man. And like I said, it's crazy too, is even in your past, before you knew God, back when you were rejecting God, he was still working in your life and preparing you for the moment that you are right now.
Yeah. And that's so true. And that's a good point. Just even in testimonies in general, like a lot of times we focus on the conversion, but God's at work years and years and years in front of us. And I still remember like my kindergarten Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Harrison, at the time teaching Sunday school, she had to be like 85, 90 years old, and she's still teaching Sunday school. She was a saint. But I'd still at age 18, when I got saved, I still remembered Bible verses from Mrs. Harrison in kindergarten. And it's just crazy. Like God, like even though I rejected him, even in kindergarten, like God's still putting things in our minds, putting things in our life, putting people in our lives, putting whatever. Like, again, God's sovereign in these things. And when you take a step back and think, like, man, he's in control of everything of in our lives. And he's so good and kind and gracious. And so, yeah, totally agree.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for your testimony tonight. Again, we appreciate you being here. I know that this will bless somebody.
And that's my prayer.
I can't wait to hear your future stories, brother. Like, seriously, I can't wait to, you know, because, you know, one thing that I'm noticing now as well is that, you know, we all have these grand plans of what we want to do with our lives, but our plan is a little bit different sometimes than what God has planned. And I've been mortified and pulled away some things that I thought I was supposed to be in my life. But as I, you know, at the moment you sit back, you digest the situation, you start to see why God has either removed things from you or put you into other things. And, you know, we spend so much time wanting to work, eat, sleep, repeat, and be part of the flesh that we don't take the time for God that we need to. So God's going to be like, I will give you the time that you need to. So those people out there that are, you know, that have lost jobs recently or going through different hardships or sick, like God's pulled you out for a reason, and he's just going to repair your arm. He's going to get you back up. He's going to have you healthy for the inevitable battle war that we're coming up to right now. And it's hard to see because it's a spiritual war, but fortunately, I think people are starting to come around to this and they're settling into their own. You know, we're watching a revival right now in the world. You know, how long have you been out of college?
10 years.
Okay. So
I'm 32 now. Yeah.
Okay. So you've been out for a little bit. You know, when I first went to college, it was kind of the very start of the woke movement, but it wasn't obvious. But as I went back to school for my second degree, it became a little bit more obvious about the indoctrination and how hard it is to, you know, basically get past the whole indoctrination, but more importantly, people losing their children. You know, you have a good conservative Christian at home, you send them to college and they come back the exact opposite of what they were, you know? So the fact that you made it through, you survived that and your focus is still on Jesus, man, it's awesome to see. But I'm starting to see universities now who are coming together and having these big prayer services, and like baptisms, like in the hundreds, you know, this is a great sign.
I really believe in, and again, each region of the country is different, but I go to about 5 different college campuses locally. There's 5 of them within 20 minutes. So I go on the campuses, I try to every week. It's really primed for God to move because they have never even heard the gospel. And so 10 years ago, when I first started doing evangelism, I had to unteach people what the Bible says, what God says, what the gospel is, that because it's all a lot of works-based, a lot of religion-based. Now, they actually, the most prominent and kind of the wokeism is there is no like absolute truth. Like everything's relative, relative truth, relative morality. You can't tell me what to do. So I go in and I actually don't even share the gospel until we have a conversation. I talk to them for 15, 20 minutes to show them that there's absolute truth. But then when I share with them about Jesus, they're like, amazed. They're like, he did that for us? Like, he actually loves us? They're so hungry for love. They're so hungry for something solid to put their put their feet on solid ground, that they'll take it, like, they'll see it and they'll be like, I need this. And so I've been seeing that locally at our campuses with, like, the mass baptisms. I've read about it, of course, but I see the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so, yes, our country, and especially the young people in colleges, they are primed with for the gospel. We just need to go to the gospel. And yeah, I'm excited with the new thing that God has me on. I'll be going to Penn State, which has 30,000-40,000 students. So I'll still be able to minister there, because college is near and dear to my heart, because they're being fed so much lies, so much garbage, that we need to get truth there. So
absolutely.
So would you say it's harder when you're doing your street evangelism and you're at these colleges, would you say it's harder speaking to an atheist, or is it harder speaking to someone that's of an alternate religion, like Mormon or maybe like a Muslim? You know, mm-hmm. What's harder?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person, but I do want to, real quick on the atheism, from like 10 years ago, the amount of atheists have completely dropped off the cliff. There's really, actually, believe it or not many atheists left. They're more agnostic, meaning I don't think there's a God, but there could be. And there's a difference, because a staunch atheist, yeah, they might have a little challenge, but most people are agnostic. I would actually say a lot of times the hardest people to evangelize that get into more debate style, that I try to steer away from because I'm not here to win debates, is actually more like the cults, and the religious cults are actually the more hardened people. So for example, like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, things like that. I love talking to them. When Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, I'm like, come in, have tea. We're going to sit and talk for now. I love it.
But Duncan does that too. Say, yeah.
I would say those are more challenging to, like, really be softened by the gospel. But like, man, I just had a 2-hour conversation with two Muslim guys 2 weeks ago, and they're so, it's amazing conversation. So yeah, I would say the hardest is actually the religious cults are the probably hardest, or the most hardened hearts. Yeah. And if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Oh yeah, it does. And we see pretty great examples of that every single day. And I love that you do that. I took note from my mother's grandmother. The Jehovah's Witness would come up to her door, and they would leave knowing more about God than when they arrived.
Yeah. I remember this one time I was at an apartment before I got married, and I usually, with Jehovah's Witness, go to John 1, because it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God as creator, and kind of like there's only creator and created, and you can't be in between. And so it kind of shows them that Jesus is God. But anyway, we had a 30-minute conversation. There was a younger girl, probably in college, and an older woman. And the younger woman was like laser focused and was almost nodding her head, agreeing with me. And the older woman looked over and all of a sudden was like, we need to leave. And it was just so sad, because, like, man, the Lord was working so good in this younger woman. But they're like, it's really a stronghold of Satan, I call it sometimes, because they're like, so much against the gospel, and it's really like hindered to even hear the gospel within the religious cults sometimes. But I know people, and even one of my cousins was in the Mormon faith and became saved. So God can save, so don't give up on them, but it can be the hardest hearts.
Yeah, you're kind of wise beyond your years. I think a lot of people were expecting to be like, oh, I graduated college yesterday. You're a very young looking guy, man. You're holding your age well.
I guess I shaved, so yeah, I don't know.
I look rather young up until 2022 when Biden won the election, and all this gray came in like 3 years.
The anxiety came. Yeah. I do have some gray hairs coming, but I think that's from sleepless nights with a 1- and 3-year-old. So
oh yeah. Oh, that'll definitely do it. But at least we don't have to worry about your children not knowing who Christ is, because they probably knew who Christ was in the womb. And
maybe my daughter was telling her doll about Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead the other night. Oh, so it was a proud dad moment. They come out and have handed out tracts before, my 3-year-old a little bit. So they like hanging, and they like people watching and stuff. So they hang out in the stroller and stuff. And my wife comes out too when she can. So I really believe that, and this is going into more father stuff, but like, it shouldn't be like Kevin's ministry. It's really a family ministry, one. Yeah. And ultimately God's ministry, because I think so many like pastors, kids and stuff, it's like, oh, that's his thing. But I really believe it's look, we're doing this together. You're all important pieces to what God is doing. So I don't want it to be about me or anything like that. So,
I mean, it's amazing too, because that's one thing is that we need the family relationship, family bonds. That is so important. And, you know, Jesus being at the forefront, you know, like literally Jesus, then you, and then, you know, on down the rest of the family, is the kid's going to be protected, you know, mm-hmm. at the very least from the indoctrination they try to put into school. Like, so your kids are still pretty young. Are you going to be sending them to a private school? Are you going to homeschool them? Are you going to take the chance and send them to public education?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think public school is dependent on like the region too. Where we are now, we're definitely not. Where we're going, it's a little bit more like Christian culture, or a little bit post-Christian, but we'll see. I mean, we're leaning towards private, but in these public schools where we're living, they apparently sing hymns in the public schools. So I'm like, okay, then they haven't gotten the woke virus yet, I guess. So, but I think either way, even if like it's Christian school, it doesn't depart the responsibility from the parents. And as a youth pastor for like 8 years, I can't tell you how many times, and well-meaning parents came up to me and say, can you talk to this guy? Like, he needs to shape up. And I was like, at some points I said, yeah, I'll talk to him. But eventually I was like, no, you need to talk to them. Like, you're the parent. Like, and so I think parents have given the discipleship and growth of their kids to either the school, as you said, or even to the church, which I think both are wrong in some sense. And so I know. And so I think it's really important the parent-child relationship be close. And yeah, there's going to be challenges and ups and downs, but we shouldn't delegate our kids' discipleship to someone else, whether it's the church youth pastor or the school.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well said. We're in a tricky situation. I could be asking questions all day long. I've got to give the mic over to these two, man, because I could literally talk to you all day.
I could talk all day too, as you can probably tell. So.
Just a couple of things. We had a comment from Kitty to Karen, and she said, I thought he looked 16, but he's twice that. She said, joy in Jesus keeps us young.
Yeah, I don't know. That's funny. Yeah, I get that a lot with people at my work, even like, because I'm the manager and I go to like travel, and they're like, I thought you were 50 years old. I'm like, sorry. Like, I don't know what to say.
When you're old and rickety and you can't stand up without making the noise anymore, you'll appreciate the youthful look.
Exactly.
Hey, DJ, did you catch any questions?
I didn't. I didn't see any questions, and I'm only on Podbean. So if there were any on Rumble, I apologize. I can only do one or the other, but I didn't see any questions at all.
Yeah, I didn't see any questions. Just a lot of good comments. Yeah,
I got one here. Jeff, sure. Brother Jeff asking, you know, can Kevin tell the audience what gospel is?
That's a fantastic Perfect. Question. I'll do the 1 minute version, because I know time wise. God created the world, God created humans, and God created humans for relationship with him. And then man, starting from Adam and Eve and every human afterwards, we've sinned against God. We've rebelled against God. We've broken his 10 commandments. We've all lied, stolen, all those things. And the result of that sin is death and separation from God. Isaiah 59:2, it says, our iniquities have separated us from God. And God saw us on the path to hell and saw and loved us, even despite our rebellion and being an enemy of God. And he saved us through sending his son, Jesus, as a rescue mission to find, to not only live a perfect, godly, holy life as fully God, but he died in our place, taking our sins upon himself, and then not only dying, but rising again from the dead. And so the full wrath of God was on Jesus. And instead of us, so he in a sense took the bullet for us, took the prison sentence for us, so that we can be free. And it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not by works, that no one can boast. It's a gift from God." And our response to receive that gift is to repent and believe. And repent means to a change of heart, change of mind. It's metanoia, the word, to turn, admit our sins, and not turn to be better, but turn towards Jesus, to trust him for our salvation, in him alone. And then from there, God saves us and adopts us as his sons and daughters. And so it's good news, because we can be set free from the path to hell, set free from the wrath of God, and adopted and as his sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so that's good news that we can be saved, saved for.
Wow, mic drop. Burp, show's over. We're not going to beat that, man. That was actually really, really, really well said.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. You're a perfect fit for the Godcast, man. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, man, that was great.
Hope had said, "Man, this guy's awesome. He's just cheering me up, and you made my day. I love this guy already." And that's the way I felt when I found him on social media. I was like, "Man, this guy has just got so much joy. It's just amazing." And Jesus will do that to you.
He will.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, that was really well said. Man, my answer would have been like half that. But, you know, I mean, you covered everything, man. And like I said, that's the things that, you know, God wants us to have the relationship. He wants us to repent. You know, obviously we're sinners. He wouldn't need to die on that cross if it wasn't for that. You know, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." But, you know, he asked us to spread the gospel from nation to nation. And that's the great thing, is that, you know, spreading the gospel or not spreading the gospel is not going to be what keeps us from getting into heaven. Mm-hmm. But as a follower of Christ, you know, don't we all want to stand up and just do that little bit more? You know, I talk to people all the time. They're like, "Man, I feel like I could be doing something more. I just don't know what it is." And I think we're all getting that fire right now in our bellies and our souls, because, you know, we don't know when the time that Christ is coming back in. But I'm watching biblical prophecy unfold every single day, you know?
Yeah. And just on the gospel too, this is one of the reasons that Permeate like really is born and I'm so passionate about it, is because on the streets the last few years, I meet Christians, inevitably. There are some out there, even in the Northeast. I always ask them, I said, "How would you describe the gospel? Or how would you describe how you're saved, or how you get to God's presence in heaven?" I can't tell you, probably 80% of the people I've asked have given me truth statements, but not the gospel. They've said, "Oh, well, God loves us," or "Jesus died on the cross." Like, yes, those are true, but I don't really believe that many Christians know how to articulate the gospel in full. And there's not one like sheet you need to write off, but the main characteristics of creation, of relationship, of sin and death, repentance, things like that. One of the trainings that I do at churches is I don't go into all these methods. Yeah, I'll mention them and go things. I just really hammer home, we need to be able to articulate the gospel, because that person at the lunch table that you're going to see tomorrow on Monday at lunch, they need to hear the gospel. They don't need to hear these methods. And so I think the church has gotten so much into doctrines and kind of the methods of a Christian life. If we just stick to the gospel first and foremost, the rest of that will follow through. And so I'm a big believer that Christians really don't know how to articulate the gospel or are not comfortable with it. So that's a really big passion of mine and a passion of what will be with Permeate.
And Permeate's pretty brand new. How many videos you guys got out right now?
Like 6, I think 5. I don't know. It was birthed. I mean, I've been talking about it, but it was actually my wife and I were driving back from her parents in December, and it just happened in a 4-hour drive. Like, we were just talking. I was like, and she encouraged me of like, "You should just do it." I said, "Okay." So the Lord, we'll see where it goes. And if Permeate crashes and burns, that's fine. It's Jesus that I want to make known. And so the goal is not to make this big and great organization. The goal is Jesus, and come what may. Yeah, we're excited about it.
Amen.
So it's really a great time to start following, because it's not like you're, you know, like like Duncan, if you wanted to start following Kilted Christian right now and you wanted to start at episode one, how many episodes are you at right now, Duncan?
588.
Yeah, so you'd have to sit there and listen to 588 times an hour to 2 hours a show.
Yeah.
And you'd really need a lot to get brought up to speed. So if you wanted to follow Permeate Evangelism, now is a perfect time.
Exactly.
You can start right at the beginning and start fresh and start learning right away on how to spread the gospel. It's perfect.
Absolutely. And it's even something too, if any listeners, like if there's a topic related to evangelism that you want to be covering, I will do any video. There's no taboo subject. So I haven't really formally launched that, but I'm excited to basically tell people, like, ask me, like, what video, what topic do you want me to cover? Because especially in the Northeast, I'm pretty sure God has allowed me to talk to most major religions and situations. So, yeah, if anyone has a specific topic, I can create a video and or we can do a one-on-one even if needed. I'm glad to help anyone.
Well, Matthew says rapture.
Rapture? Like talk about the rapture or like we should be raptured.
Talk about the rapture.
Yes.
You know, and a warning, you know, there is, like you said, when it comes to talking, I think we all agree there's no taboo subjects, you know what I'm saying? Sure. You know, within scripture, but some of them are harder to talk about than others, man, because you know, the shape of the earth is a great example of that one right there. One of those that I love to talk about, but we'll avoid it at all costs because I don't have the answer to that. But another one is rapture, as to not what it is, but when it is, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like pre, middle, post, and whatever.
Yeah.
They're fun topics. I love talking about it. But yeah, that's one thing, is that some of those topics you're never going to get through without some disagreement.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why Jesus in the Bible so many times says, love your brother, because you may not always agree. And so it's like, by your love, you will know that they are my disciples. And so, yeah. And I think that's the beauty, too, of even doing evangelism and doing evangelism at churches. Like there's the evangelism training I'm doing in like 8 days next Saturday. There's like probably 10 churches coming. I may not agree with every theological doctrine of all those churches, but they're welcome because we all agree on the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so praise the Lord. And so, yeah, there's even going to be videos that that will make it at Permeate that people may disagree with one or two things, but we'll agree on the gospel and we'll agree on the heart of Jesus, which is to seek and save the lost. Amen. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm loving this conversation, man. You know, God definitely picks the right people to do the right jobs, you know what I'm saying, what he needs. And, you know, we're all hands on deck right now. You know, I've been feeling this way since the eclipse, you know what I'm saying? It's just, there's been a heaviness in the air. You know, there's a lot of the biblical things that are lining up. So I think a lot of people are in the same thing, and we can feel something coming. We don't know what it is. You know, I can't say if it's rapture. I can't say if it's, you know, tribulation, or a great awakening, a big revival, you know, which we're kind of seeing, hints at, which is phenomenal. One thing that we can all agree on is the importance of finding Jesus right now, like today. Yesterday would have been great, but today's perfect. And not to fear, which is a big one, you know what I'm saying? Because we were discussing earlier how the media loves to push fear on absolutely everybody in every way possible. DJ was talking about it earlier. And it's a tough one. You know, that's why I'm grateful to God, because God alone keeps me calm during this time. And then Tam and Jeff, you know, they help too. but you know, God keeps me calm because we know no matter what, he wins. And we can't question the how, the why. You know, our brains are too tiny and we'll just explode just with one random deep God thought, you know? So,
yeah. And on the topic of fear, I mean, that's why the scripture, like over 300 times says, do not fear, because he knows us humans are fearful.
Yeah.
But I actually think this is so important for evangelism, but even just in general for the Christian life is one of the first video series we did, actually, and it's on YouTube now, is the hindrances to evangelism, which is fear of man, fear of perception, and the fear of not knowing what to say. But I make the argument that actually the goal is to just not fear. Because if we try it like, okay, I'm not going to fear, you're thinking about it so much, you're going to be fearful. But really, we need to redirect our fear towards God And we actually, because we're fearful beings in some sense, we should fear God. And then that will take away all those fears. Because that perception of that person, God says, don't fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can send the soul to hell.
Amen.
And like, do not fear of not knowing what to say, because he'll send you into kings and queens, and just don't even think about what to say. I'll give you the words to speak. And so when we center our lives and our hearts and our praises and our worship towards God, a lot of our fears just disappear. And so I think the church so much is like, do not fear. I actually would say the church needs to say, you need to fear God and not man and not your perception or whatever. So yeah, I totally think it's all around us, the temptations. But if we go to the scriptures, it calls us to fear God.
Yeah, fear the creator, not the creation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I've got one question. What do you do about that one sin that you just can't seem to shake? Like, how did you overcome porn addiction, for example?
Like, yeah.
That stayed with you for 10 years, you said. How did you get over that?
By God's grace, first and foremost, it's nothing but a work of God, because physically and those who are even struggling today in those things, you feel like you can't ever get rid of it. But by God's grace, but I think there's also practical discipleship, practical accountability, people pouring into your life that you share openly with what's going on. And so it's by God's grace through prayer, a lot of not just God help me, but like on your knees crying, saying, I'm not leaving here, God, until you free me. And sometimes it's going to take you to fast. Sometimes it's going to take you to stay up all night. We as Christians are sometimes so comfortable that we think one prayer is going to do it. But the Lord says about the persistent widow, like, keep coming after me. So I would say persistence, fellowship, discipleship, accountability is critical. And do the practical is fleeing from any temptation. Throw things away. Cut your, it even in the Gospels talk about cut your hand off if it causes you to sin. Go to the, be radical. This whole like comfortable lukewarm Christianity needs to burn. Like, it needs to go away. Because the church is too much just like, oh, it's okay, you sin, just come back to church Sunday. Literally, I heard that at a church and I almost threw up. And so I think if we need to be radical, we can't just take like, well, the other guy sins too. It's like, no, you compare yourself to a holy God. That's the only person you compare yourself to. So those are some thoughts. Hopefully it's helpful.
All right. Thank you. All right. Last chance. Anyone in chat, any questions, fire away at us.
Yep. We got our eyes on chat right now. So if you guys have any questions, I'll make sure to get those out. I'll tell you, go ahead, DJ. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I think it's pretty exciting that you're going to, you know, universities and reaching out like that. I was watching YouTube or whatever it was the other day, and I saw a bunch of kids at the university getting baptized in the back of pickup trucks.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to make light of it or less of it, but it's like Jesus is cool now, and people are finding out how awesome it is to fall in love with Jesus, you know?
Absolutely. And they've taken Jesus out. And so now they're being introduced to him for the first time without any of the garbage. Like I said, we don't have to unteach them anything because they know nothing about Jesus.
Yeah, they seem to be really thirsty, because I'm watching a lot of videos too. And for anyone that's in the colleges and they're talking about Jesus, they've got a big crowd around them and everybody is very intent and very interested. And just like you said, Kevin, it's like they're hearing it from the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I think our generation of parents have we've failed these kids.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is the first generation that the majority of people in America don't go to church. And so they're growing up in godless homes. And I would say anywhere from 40 to 60%. So about half of the kids that I talk to, I always in the conversation ask, do you know who Jesus is? Like, describe one or two facts just to get a temperature of where they're at. About half of them say, I have no idea. Like, all I'm asking for is like, he turned water into wine, like some story,
right.
But they don't know anything. And people in the church don't realize how biblically illiterate the kids are which is actually not something to be like angry and like just go like, oh, it's the government's fault. This is an opportunity to go and tell these people for the first time, like, this is the unreached that we need to go to. And we do need to go to the unreached villages in India and all these places as well. But it's literally in your backyard that people are unreached. And so I encourage everyone, like, just go to a college campus, go to your coworker, and they might not even know about Jesus either. People think that America, most people know about Jesus with all the churches, but with how bad the churches are and how empty the churches are, most people don't even know the gospel.
Well, and that's the problem too, you know, is we're realizing the importance of what, you know, Christ referred to as church is, you know, basically us coming together, you know, within our temples, because I'll tell you right now, I'm very cautious about what churches I pick, you know, because it's more destructive going to some of these churches and not going to a church at all, because I think you said something earlier, like, people are tiptoeing, they're walking on eggshells. They don't want to offend people. Just on Easter, the churches, they're like, well, we're not going to talk about the death of Christ and the blood and Calgary or any of that stuff, because we want people to come to our church. And it's like, then, you know, walk on eggshells next week. This is Easter. This is like literally, I mean, I know a lot of people have their views on what the holidays are with pagan backgrounds, but we still worship our Heavenly Father and the sacrifice that He made. Churches should be talking about this. Churches, you know, they're tied into the law, you know, by getting those special privileges from our government. They're basically can't talk about some of the things they should be talking about. You know, they don't want to talk about Satan. You talk to a lot of Christians, some of them will tell you that Satan and demons aren't real. You know, churches, they've got a responsibility. And you know what? We're not going to make everyone happy. Sometimes people don't want to hear what we're talking about, but we can't walk on eggshells when it comes to this, because we're doing it out of love. Look, I want to see you in heaven. I don't want to see you, you know, I don't want to not see you in heaven, because I'm hoping that I'm there, and I don't want to see you not make it. You know, so that's the thing, is you said it perfectly too, is that you're not having, these kids aren't unlearning. You're speaking to them fresh. My niece literally asked me this is a Christmas a couple of years back. I was talking about the Bible. She goes, oh, you mean that Jesus book? Like, what a weird thing to say, but it's not weird when you see with these generations today.
Yeah.
I pray for people like you. I pray for people like Ron. I pray for anyone who's got like kids that are, you know, because we talked about fear earlier. It's different for me. I don't have much to fear. I don't have any children to have to watch out for. But you guys, you know what I'm saying? Anyone with kids has to fear for their children anymore.
Yeah. There's so much the godlessness and the immorality is getting worse and worse, which is prophesied in the scripture. So it's like, oh, Jesus must be coming back soon, because how much worse can it get?
Don't ask that question.
Yeah, because it will. But you do have to be careful. But like, there's a sense of, well, God, it's in their hands, but you do have to physically protect kids, like, to not hear the garbage. And just even in the church too, just real quick story, in college I was the president of the Christian group, and this guy came in, he was basically teaching a works-based religion. And he was corrupting one of the small group Bible studies. And I heard like some of the stuff that he was saying. So I had a meal with him and I was like, no, like, this is the gospel. And he got combative and I was like, you're not allowed in our studies or anything in our group. And people would be like, well, but they might be converted. I was like, no, they're corrupting. And so I think people need to, as Christians, we do need to be both with our kids of what is being fed to them, but in general, the church, like, if there's false teaching within the church, the Apostle Paul clearly says, kick them out. Like, no questions asked. Like, if you confront them once. So I think that with the godless society, we do have to be bold in fighting and defending the truth, but you can do it in a loving, gentle way too. It doesn't have to be screaming at people.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's plenty of people that I want to scream at. Most of them aren't Christians.
We got to be nice, man. We don't have to apologize, but we can be nice. And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and especially on the streets too, you get people like yelling, and I love the proverbs, a soft answer turns away wrath. And man, it's so true. Like, I've had people yelling, I just talked to them in a calm voice. Sometimes the Lord, I fell in the flesh and started yelling back, but that's very, by God's grace, most of the times it's just a quiet voice. It turns away wrath truly, and we can then speak the gospel into their lives. And they may reject it, but the way we carry about us is representing God as an ambassador. And so yeah. It does matter the way we say things too.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. That's true.
I'd be going Peter on everybody, pulling out that sword and chopping off the ears. I literally.
I know people like that. And this one guy, and sorry, I love stories, but in Philadelphia, this one guy, we were doing street preaching. I normally don't do street preaching. I do like individual conversations, but we were street preaching. And I don't know if you know Black Hebrew Israelite. I forgot. That's one of the hardest hearts. But the guy I was with actually, the guy, we were just preaching and talking, and the guy came up and was screaming at us. And then he started like kicking our amps and everything. And the guy I was with was a Peter and was a wrestler. And he was like, I'm gonna go beat him to the ground, because he was bigger than me. I was like, dude, don't do it. That's not a good witness. And so I like kind of hold him back a little bit. But it ended happily, in the sense the guy eventually, once we started praying and just were quiet, he left. The only bad news was we lost the speaker, but it's okay. Anyway, sorry, that was a random story, but it just came to my head.
Oh, that's good. Lost the speaker, but it could have been worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Planted some seeds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And I didn't lop anyone's ear off, so.
Good for you. There's a reason God has me behind this desk and this microphone instead of out in the public. But I'm just kidding. I do have to pray to God every day to keep me calm during these times, because, boy, some days I want to throw those rocks, man, and
He built us in different ways for the good of the kingdom. So exactly. Praise the Lord.
I do a lot of, sorry, God.
We all do.
All right. Now let's get into closing here. If I can, let me read Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So if there's anyone out there who doesn't know Jesus and you need help along, please get in touch with us. You can reach out to Kevin Tallickson at Permeate Evangelism, and you can also reach out to us at Kilted Christian, or This Is An Official Godcast@gmail.com. And if you email me over at the Gmail, I'll pray with you myself. If there's someone that you want to speak with that you have in mind, maybe it's Duncan or DJ or our pocket Bible man, Jeff, Kevin, anyone, please just reach out to us, and we're more than happy to get with you and pray with you. And if you have questions about salvation, anything at all, please reach out to us. If you need a Bible, please reach out to us. We're here for you. We love you. We want you to be part of this family. And of course, God wants you to be part of his family as well. Amen. For those of you that are saved, please let's follow this great example that Kevin is, and let's get out there and let's tell the people who don't know about Jesus. Let's tell them about Jesus. A great thing is there's so many people out there that are just less fortunate than us. And I know the times are really tough right now. I know a lot of us with inflation and the economy, we're all having our own troubles. But there's always someone that's less fortunate with you. And that's just a perfect person that you can be a great example for. A lot of people are lonely. A lot of people just need a hug and someone to talk to. So be that friend. It's a great door to open, and it's a great opportunity to plant seeds. And, you know, again, if there's anything that we can help you with along, if you have questions about salvation or questions about how you can spread the gospel, or even if you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus and you're stumbling and you come across a roadblock, or someone throws a question at you that you don't know how to answer, please reach out to us. There's so many people here that are here for you to help, that will love to help you. Amen. And I know I'm going to speak for Kevin and Duncan and DJ. We're all here for you guys. Whatever we can do to help and support you. And of course, our main goal is to spread the gospel. So anything we can do to help, please. I heard a great story this week. I think I heard it on the radio. It was a guy that was a mission. And I can't remember what island he said. He was in some island and he was doing mission work. He got into doing a sermon, and before he did some praise songs and then did a sermon. And then at the end of the sermon, he just wanted to do one more praise song and then close out the night. And he didn't really have a song in mind. So he asked everyone in the crowd, you know, hey, has anybody got a praise song they want to do? And this woman had raised her arm and she said, count your blessings one by one. As he looked and focused in on this woman, he noticed she was a leper. And as he had said, it was probably one of the most hideous people he'd ever seen in his life. This lady, her ears were gone and her nose was gone, had fallen off. She didn't have any lips. And when she had raised her hand, she didn't have any fingers. She didn't have any fingers on either of her hands. And her body was just horribly disfigured. And he got right into the song. And he got halfway through it and he started crying and just realizing that this woman is counting her blessings. And he got to the point where he's down on his knees crying, and some guy had come up to him and said, I bet you won't be singing that song anytime soon again. And the guy said, yeah, I will. I'll just be singing it a little differently. Wow. So just let that be an example. There's so many people out there that are less fortunate with you and less fortunate than you are. And it's really a great opportunity to tell them about Jesus. So with that, if anybody has any prayer requests, go ahead and let us know now. And DJ is going to pray us out. I know there's you spoke about a young girl that was Jeff's friend that fallen off her horse. She was having seizures. That's one we definitely don't want to miss. And Kevin, do you have anyone you need to pray for?
Good. Just pray for my family with sicknesses. We've been sick for like 4 months off and on. So just pray for us and in the midst of ministry and things like that. Be appreciated.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah.
I don't know, stuff with families because you're just passing it back and forth, yeah. And it seems like it never goes away at times.
Exactly.
And their brother, I know it. Yeah, DJ's smiling. She's got girls. I know she's been through that same thing too. Anyway, with kids, it just goes around the family 4 or 5 times.
She can empathize. Yep.
Yeah, you probably have a super immune system though, DJ.
Yeah. Build one up. All right, are we ready for prayer?
I think so, yes.
All right. Well, thank you, Father, for this wonderful day that you've given us. I'm just going to start off by saying thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for the blood that you shed on the cross to cover off our sins, Lord, and please let us not forget to repent for those sins when we sin against you. I just thank you for your grace and mercy that you give us every day, Lord. You're so wonderful to us, and let us give back and say your name to everybody that we see, Lord. Just praise you. Give you the glory, Jesus. Let us not forget to count our blessings. From the smallest to the biggest, Lord, let us see each one and to just make sure we thank you for those blessings that you give us, Lord. for those needs of prayer for, I mean, pray for Steve and to continue his, the healing that he needs, Lord, to get back in the saddle again, to start serving you like he used to, Lord. And just, I just lift him to you for restoration of his vision and strength, Lord, that he can get back up on his feet and to continue to do the work that you would have him do for you, Lord. We ask that you would help Peyton, the seizures that she's having, Lord. You are the physician. You are the ultimate physician. And we just give her to you, Lord, and just ask for healing. The same for Jeff. He's just been suffering for so long, Lord, and we just ask that you would touch him and give him strength so he can get back to doing Brothers in a Bible and to just be that voice that he is for you, Lord. He loves you so, and we love him, and we just ask that you would pick him up and heal him, Lord. Thank you for Kevin and for his testimony. He fills us with joy. I can see so many comments about people that are just smiling in the chats. And I just thank you for bringing him to us, Lord, and for putting him out there to do your work. And I just ask that you would put your blessings upon this family, Lord, and to heal their sickness and to continue the ministry, Lord, and to let it grow and grow and grow and to do your word. To preach the gospel, to teach the truth, Lord. So many people need to hear the truth today. And here's one more avenue, Lord, that we just need to have such a great outreach, Lord. And thank you for blessing this ministry. I ask that you would bless each of the podcasts here, Kilted, and this community that's coming together, Lord, uniting for you, for your glory. And you be all the glory, Lord. Just glorify you through all of this. And I just can't thank you enough, Lord. You're just so wonderful. Thank you so much. Be with all the podcasters, all those who are trying to get your word out, Lord, and let us just preach the gospel, preach the truth to those who need to hear it. And I thank you so much. I pray for specifically for Jay Wu today and give him direction, guide his path, Lord. Let him have clarity in which way to go. There's just so much he's got going on, Lord. And I just ask that you would leave any stress he might have and just let him focus on you and how you would have him do your work, Lord, your will for the kingdom, your kingdom, Lord. Please be with Dog Mom. Her boss has passed and Kent, Lord. We just ask that you would be with the family as they will honor him tomorrow. I know it's hard on all of the employees and his family, and I just ask that you would give them comfort at this time, Lord. I just lift them to you and just be with them, Lord, at this time. Thank you again for all that you've done for us, for all that you do and all that you will do, Lord. I ask this blessing in your name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Beautiful.
Thank you, DJ. DJ, thanks so much for joining us. Duncan, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Duncan does such an awesome job, doesn't he?
Well, I just want to say this real quick. I've gotten a couple of texts during the show that said that Kevin would make a great addition to the Kilted Network, I think. And I can't disagree with that. And if you ever want to think about moving on to Rumble, like I said, we'll come up with a different time. And it'd be just like this. I would direct from here. You'd be on Rumble under the Kilted Christian, reaching God as far as we can. So think about it. Everyone absolutely loved you, and I can't disagree with them.
Yeah, I, to be honest, I just have no experience in Rumble. I was telling Ron, I'll think about it, and maybe it might take a couple weeks with some transitions, but maybe I'll get on it by the summertime. But yeah, we can talk. I would love to join and whatever gets the word of Jesus out.
Yeah, I overcomplicate things on this end. I went to school for film and broadcasting, so I go all out. But literally,
I love it.
It's as simple as literally just hopping on your phone and talking. It doesn't need to be fancy. I tell it all the time. I just do it because I love the work. So
beautiful. Yeah, no, I will probably get on it then. It's more opportunities to reach people for Jesus and train them in the gospel. And that's my heart's desire.
So. Amen.
Cool.
Yeah, could you see him and Jeff teaming up on teaching us all how to share the gospel? I think we'd be invincible.
I would be on mute with my mic behind me listening to that show.
I love it, man. Kevin, you're solid. Awesome. Kevin Tallickson with Permeate Evangelism. You can find him on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. So please get on your social media, find his pages, like them, subscribe them, and share his video. Share his videos. Do your part in sharing the gospel. Share his videos. We all need to see them. I can attest, I've seen each one of them about 10 times, and I love them. Kevin, I love you. Thank you so much again for being here.
Thank you for having me, and keep up the good work that you all are doing. Thank you for your labors for the gospel. So it's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Kevin. Appreciate it. All right, my dearest friends, let us not forget we're here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So please find that person you love that does not know him and tell them your testimony. Do it today. Tomorrow is not promised.
Amen. And everybody, real quick, don't forget to join us tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock Eastern time, for a Church by the Fire. We'll be getting together, having more conversations about God. And just, man, I'm so blessed to be part of this family. Godcast is such an amazing show. The testimonies are powerful. So I just want to say I love you all before I head out to the National Anthem. All right.
Love you.
Everyone,
good night, guys.
Have an absolutely beautiful weekend. We'll see you tomorrow evening. And I leave you for the National Anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early what so proudly we held at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still